Lord, he's here this morning. The worship, I've never felt anything like that, I don't believe. Just thank you. Thank you, Donald, for saying let's pray about, you know, the service before all of us together. I believe he's here. He's anointed. He's going to anoint the service. I so much appreciate last week the service. I wasn't here, but examine yourself. And I feel like earlier this week, the Lord, I was actually deer hunting. And you could spend some time with him when you're not seeing deer. But I believe he said, Jesse, are you ready? Are my people ready? And I feel like we, along with examining ourselves, we need to ask, am I ready? Am I ready for his coming? And something a verse that I believe maybe he gave to me was in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Just to challenge ourselves and ask him, are we truly ready? But it says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, adulterers, nor men that have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then this is the best part. If you've put your trust in him and you know you're covered by the blood, it says, and that is what some of you were. Thank God that that's what I was, but he's redeemed me. He set me free. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for setting me free. When I read this, I imagine the other day when I was there in the deer stand of what I once was. And just a few months ago, I believe the Lord, he delivered me. But I could imagine that there being just chains wrapped around me. And each one of them would have a name, like addiction, greed, you know, everything that's listed here, idolater, immoral, that was me. But he set me free. I thank him so much for that. I believe he's, I know that there could be people here, or there's definitely people in the world that need to be set free. But I also thought of, I've been reading a lot lately in Ephesians, and Ephesians 5 came to me. And like Phil said, this, you said Satan was opposing you giving out your message last week. Y'all know I usually sit in the back row, so he's definitely opposing me doing this. But I'm trying to take a step of faith and trust that that if this needs to be said, that those who hear it will accept it. But in verse 3 in Ephesians 5, he says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. I'm not worthy, but I want to be his holy people, and I want to be one of those. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you know, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person, is an idolater, and they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It says something Phil mentioned last week, the doctrine that's kind of went out in different churches is that it's kind of deceiving people. And in verse 6 it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. I thank him for the blood, but at the same time, I don't want to live this disobedient lifestyle. It says, and in verse 8, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. In verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. That was me for years. I had an addiction, and not many people knew about it. But it was shameful to mention that. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And this scripture here reminds me so much of Matthew 25 that Phil quoted last week, about the wise and the foolish virgins. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I thought, when this was written a long time ago, the days were evil, but now that's multiplied by 1,000, you know, or even more than that. It's rough. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I want to understand what his will is. I don't want to live in this lifestyle that I used to. I thank him that he's freed me. And it says here in 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And then always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for freeing me, Lord. If there's anyone here, Lord, who's not decided, Lord, and they don't know if they're ready, Lord, show them, God. Down in 25, same in Ephesians 5:25, the part I want to get to is 27, but it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Thank the Lord again that he's given us this blood, and he's given us this opportunity to be without stain or wrinkle or blemish. Something else I thought about when we were worshiping is the Lord. I felt like I could just imagine him up here, and one of the first songs we sang was, he's drawing a line in the sand. I believe that that time is now. It's went forth the past couple services. It went forth for the past few years, but I believe that the Lord is trying to show us, and I hope that those who have ears to hear will listen and hear it. The last thing, let me go back to Matthew 25 real quick. That's the last thing I'll share. It says, pick it up in verse 8. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us. You instead go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Again, he's pointing back to, am I ready? Are we ready? We know he's coming. We've got to answer this question. We've got to ask him and seek him. If you need deliverance, seek him for it. If you're in these chains like I was, seek him for it. If you need to go to someone at the church, elders, and say, can you pray for me in this area? Lay hands on me and pray for me. I believe the elders here will do that and ask for to be set free. Something else that I go back to is 2 weeks ago, I think, Phil gave out basically the devil, what he would say to you. And for a long time, he said to me, Jesse, by grace you were saved through faith. You know, you can live in this lifestyle and you're still going to make it. And there is some truth to that, but I still believe the Lord wants to set us free fully. But and then he says, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. It's true. I feel like we need to be ready, even though we don't know the day or the hour. The last thing I'll end with is, and I've prayed about this for 4 weeks now, but one of the prayers was, Lord, if this is of you, please have someone mention Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins and the wedding. Well, 4 weeks ago, I had a dream, and just I'm going to let the others judge because I know how that goes, but just I'm going to give it out. And in this dream, I saw like a tsunami, maybe some kind of destruction coming. And when it hit, it was a strange sounding, but there was wedding rings down in the water. And it was like ankle-deep water. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? And I remember him saying, I remember looking for mine, because all the people in the dream were looking for their wedding rings, all different kinds of wedding rings. And they were like, no, this isn't mine. They would throw it down. And I prayed about it, and I believe the Lord showed me Matthew 25, the story of the 10 virgins. And he said, my people think that they're ready, but they're not. And they're not ready for this wedding and for when I'm coming to them. So I felt like I'd give it out. And I remember also another thought he put into my mind at that point was, they need to be set free from the bondage they're in. And I looked for mine for a second, and he said, Jesse, I've set you free. Again, thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting me free, Lord. Anyone that this needs to reach, Lord, just touch their hearts, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Have them have ears to hear what's coming forth, God. I just put this in your hands. Thank you all.
Praise the Lord. I noticed last week on this about this parable of the virgins, what I never noticed before. And we've all read it and heard it a bunch of times. Y'all probably noticed it. But it's just the virgins, they had to be. From what little I know about it, it can't just be anybody for this ceremony, for the wedding, what he's using as an example for this. It couldn't just be anybody. It had to be certain ones, the virgins. And they all had lamps, and they all had some oil in them. They all became drowsy and slept, but at midnight there was a cry, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So always in my mind hearing this, I'm thinking, well, they didn't bring any oil. They were just foolish people that just didn't even have any oil at all. They didn't have God. They didn't know anything. That's why they failed here. Their lamps were going out. They didn't have enough. Now we can have barely enough, and I think that's the Lord's told me that a bunch of times recently. We can have barely enough to get by and scratch through the week from Sunday to Sunday, if that's when you come, and you can barely make it. Or you can have enough to share. You can have enough to get past when this thing here, they had enough to last longer. So I feel like that's been ever since Phil came back from one of the mission trips and he talked about the people scratching by that barely had enough food to get by from day to day. We can have all of God that we want if we seek him. And if we seek him, it's not one time just to know him, not just for salvation. If we seek him, we'll find him. That's today and tomorrow. It's every time. We have to keep seeking him and keep knocking and keep asking him so he can fill us with his spirit. But if we just take a little bit, just enough to scratch by, it's not enough. And talking about examine yourselves over in John, I'm not sure what scripture it is, but Jesus is talking to the Jews and he's telling them about himself. And they're questioning him over and over. And he said, if you believe in me, then you'll be free. And this says, we've never been enslaved to anybody. We're sons of Abraham. We don't, look at us. We grew up in the Bible tabernacle. My daddy's an elder. My daddy's not, but I'm saying. I'm just saying for everybody that's listening. Maybe you're out there. My dad's a pastor, and I grew up in the Bible tabernacle, and we didn't even miss a service. That's not going to help you any. When that scripture over here says to examine yourself. You, every person that's in this, and Jesus over and over says, he who has ears, let him hear. That's every person here, so far as I can tell. You have ears. Let you hear. Examine yourself. Just growing up in a certain church, and somebody said, God don't have any grandchildren. You have to know him personally and ask him to forgive you and to come into your life. That's the way.